Now, here's a real winner. On the second side, what's the purpose of work? And we alluded to this right away. What's the problem? I don't get it. If Hashem's in charge, then why do I have to work? Why do I...
Effort.
Good. We'll develop that. Why do I have to run to a doctor if I don't feel well? Why do I have to run to my office if I need money? What for?
That's how the world works.
Good. Why does the world work that way? If Hashem is benevolent, kind, and loving, then why does He require that of us? Why is this system in place? A fundamental question. Take a look at the insights. Number 6. The reason that Hashem placed upon us the need to work, you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Is to test us. If we behave within the guidelines of Bitachon, knowing that if Hashem doesn't want it to happen, it won't happen. Basically, you get the impression that by running your business a certain way, you're earning the money. And there's a test there to be aware that if Hashem didn't will it so, it wouldn't work. And therefore, on a simple level, you'll run an honest business or whatever. But there are tests implied in working. Additionally, a second reason, there are benefits to working in that it keeps us out of trouble. And that, by the way, it sounds cheap, but it's a very powerful reason. We'll see in a minute. Take a look at 7. Be careful lest you forget Hashem. Hashem promises enormous blessings to the Jews in the land of Israel when they finally get there. Be careful not to forget Hashem. You have to still observe His commandments. Lest you eat and be satisfied, you'll build beautiful homes, you'll have cattle, sheep, goats, that was the local currency, as well as gold and silver. Your heart will become haughty. You will forget Hashem, who took you out of Egypt from the house of slavery. A person who's too confident risks haughtiness. They feel very powerful. And in fact, that's what we're told. Quote 8, Israel became fat, well-nourished, and they kicked. They deserted Hashem, the rock of its salvation. Hashem is the one stability in the world. And Hashem says, you rejected me because you felt too confident. Again, going back to the end of quote 6, the benefit of working, it keeps us out of trouble. Okay.
Is it more important that it keeps out of trouble, or is it just because it's testing us, basically, how we will conduct ourselves?
So the Chovas HaLevavos is really, in quote 6, giving both reasons. Two different reasons, two different approaches. Sure. One is to test us, and one is to keep us out of trouble.
It was originally a curse.
Good, okay. Good. So in Kabbalah, the way we understand such things is that the curse comes together with the needs that were created by the sin. Let me try to say that again. The curse is actually a blessing. It's addressing the problems that now exist as a result of the sin. The sin is that you've introduced the possibility of violating Hashem. So number one is humanity has to die. Because if humanity didn't die, firstly, they would go off the deep end. Because there's no time constraint to this whole system. And secondly, Derech Hashem says if they don't die, then they can't be planted in the ground and be rejuvenated in a better form, which is called the world to come. But when it comes to work, it's the same idea. The curse is addressing the problem that now exists from sin. Now humanity knows that it can violate Hashem. If you don't force a person to have a job, to go to work, to do things, to be answerable to people, then you would sit along all day watching soap operas, and you could know what's going to happen to his mind. Yeah. Off the deep end. Again, work is a blessing to keep you out of trouble. And those are the two reasons that the Chovos HaLevavos cites. Seven is much more comfortable philosophically. It's simply a statement, be careful. And later on it happened. Eight is actually as if it happened, even though it didn't happen. And I'm pointing out the commentaries deal with that, that it's true. If Israel wanted to overcome the potential for sin, they could have. But we're outlining the process. If it should be necessary, which it is necessary apparently, to have tshuva. Power of prayer. We're finally clinching the theme. 9. Hashem provided the human being with intelligence and talent to care for himself. And Hashem expects us to use that, right? The worst thing would be Hashem gave you intelligence and talent and you sit back and say, okay, God, you take care of it. But I gave you gifts. Go use them. It is possible that the human being's involvement in worldly affairs will lower him significantly. So Hashem prepared a remedy for him in the form of prayer. Before a person begins worldly endeavors, he should petition Hashem for assistance and place upon God all his burdens. And that was taken from one of the early verses that we saw. Place on Hashem your burden. Recognize that even though you're obligated to go through the motions, you're obligated to do what you need to do, but ultimately success is up to Hashem. Right? There's a famous analogy, I'm sure you've heard, of a city that's flooded. And the person gets a chance to evacuate when the announcement goes out on the radio. And later, rowboats come around and invite him on, and he's not evacuating. And a helicopter comes and offers him a last-ditch effort while he's on the roof. We'll take you away. And he refuses, he's busy praying throughout, God save me, God save me, and he keeps refusing salvation. The water keeps rising and washes him away. He gets to heaven, and he's angry. He says, God, I don't understand, I prayed for you for salvation. How could it be that I died? And God, of course, says, I sent you an announcement over the radio. I sent you a rowboat. I sent you a helicopter. What more do you want me to do? We need to understand that the way Hashem provides salvation is through natural means. It's a rare exception, like of biblical standards, that Hashem alters nature because in those early stages they really needed to see that Hashem owns the world. But under normal circumstances, Hashem sends salvation through natural means. And a person with bitachon will find that that complements the whole theme very beautifully. Because that means that when natural salvation comes, he attributes it to God. And the kind of salvation he anticipates as a result of his prayers is a natural form of salvation. And it colors the whole way you see the world.
Versus a miraculous one. Right.
In other words, I go to work and I bring home a paycheck. And I have a risk of saying, that was me. I need to understand that Hashem sends his salvation and his sustenance through natural means. That's right. The boss handing you the paycheck is Hashem's influence in the world. What difference does that make? You still have to be nice to the boss. And you do. Because Hashem sends good things through good people. But the difference is that if an ethical question would come up, you would still be able to choose correctly with the awareness that Hashem provides ultimately. And you don't walk around nerve-wracked. What happens if he doesn't like what I say? If you're doing the right thing in the world in an industrious way, then blessing comes from Hashem. Hashem has many messengers. If this messenger turns out that he's no longer worthy to be your form of sustenance, so Hashem will grant you a different messenger. but to remember that Hashem is the one who's putting the pieces in position. And that colors the way we see the world, and again, this level of serenity that a person who has bitachon is able to achieve.
Well, if your boss gives you too much work, I mean, you
still sorry?
If your boss gives you too much work, you still have to do it, even if you think it's too much, but you have to...
That's all part of hishtadlus, of making a sincere and devoted effort. Person's obligated to do that. But if it, let's say it came to a point where doing that work would mean that you're not able to observe Shabbos, then you have a very stark challenge, and you turn to the boss and very politely, or whatever the approach, the correct approach with him is, to be firm, to be polite, to be whatever it is, but you go ahead in your best judgment call and tell him, my dear friend, I'm a Sabbath observer. Whether it means the job or doesn't mean the job, it doesn't matter. I'm still a Sabbath observer. Where does a person get the strength to do that? So before you learned about bitachon, you thought that the place that you get the strength to do that is simply right and wrong. And I'll die for it! Because it's the right thing to do. Right? After you've learned about bitachon, what gives you the strength to say, I'm a Sabbath observer, I don't work on Shabbat? What gives you the strength? Bitachon. Bitachon gives you the strength. It's true, you still need right and wrong and everything else. I'm not denying that. But you could easily derive the strength to stand up for what's right with the awareness that Hashem will still provide. It's true, I'm willing to observe Shabbat even if it means living in a tent. But bitachon tells me that I don't have to anticipate that by standing up for Shabbat, I'm going to have to live in a tent.
What if you don't feel that strong? I mean, like, what if you don't want to live in a tent?
No, so that's what I'm saying. That's why many Jews, Shabbos washed away in their families, because they didn't feel the strength between right and wrong.
They didn't have bitachon.
But if they would have had bitachon, they would have had that extra boost that would have enabled them to stand up for what's right.
And they would have had what they needed?
Yes. They would have had what they needed. I mean, they may have a different definition of what they need than God has what they need. But yeah, that's bitachon is that Hashem comes through. Yes. It's a tough, you know, we live in a very physical world. It's a tough pill to swallow. But people who have it, it's awesome. They're living a very serene life.
I have a problem with that only, well, if I'm driving somewhere before Shabbos. And, well, I hope it never happens. But, like, if the car broke down, I'm not going to get out. You know, if it's, you know, if alone, I would want to make sure that I get there safely.
Okay. Okay, so it's important.
Override, right?
It's important to be aware that there are cases where a person legitimately has a fear of safety. It's true that there may be cases where a person has to violate Shabbos because there's a legitimate fear of safety. And every case, if a person thinks they have a case, they have to assess it or ask someone to assess it for them, to see if it's really a legitimate fear. And you have to know. Every case is different. I'm not saying there isn't such a case. Okay. And a legitimate fear for life does justify Shabbos violation. That's true. I'm talking about where it sweeps a society. Where a society just decides that we're under pressure and just throw the whole thing out.
Right, so the person who felt that they wouldn't be able to eat if they didn't work on Shabbos years ago, there was a real fear probably.
It is possible. There's a lot of philosophical analysis of this. It could be that some of the people who were working on Shabbos under certain circumstances were truly in life danger. That's true. It could be, but listen to me closely. It could be that some of the people on some of the times were truly in life danger. But what happened was that Shabbos became nothing.
the vast majority they may have, to have a little bit more at the table and a little than rather than less on the table.
The people who remained observant and their grandchildren are very, very proud of them are the people who decided that we're going to struggle through this test. And they had less, and they struggled, and they feared. My grandfather, you know, until he opened up his own business, where he could do what he wanted in terms of opening and closing, he lost his job every Friday. Yeah, gulp. Yeah. That's not easy. But I'm not here to judge people. We're teaching a mitzvah, a skill. And that skill, when complemented with right and wrong, called bitachon, enables a person to have a certain level of confidence that Hashem will provide. Hashem will pull me through. I want to share with you the final quote. Very interesting question that came to Rav Moshe Feinstein. A perspective on an insurance policy. Are you allowed to purchase either life insurance or fire insurance, or is that a lack of trust in Hashem? Why don't you feel Hashem will provide? Why are you buying insurance? Insurance, even in Hebrew, bitachon, bituach. It comes from the same word. It's a guarantee. Why aren't you accepting God's guarantee? Why are you looking for other guarantees?
It's a part of the physical world. And it's
good, natural. Good, good. But we have to develop the theme, because otherwise you're going to walk away. Which way should I go on any one issue? Look at 11. In my opinion, there is nothing wrong. That's a diplomatic way of ruling in halachic terms. In my opinion, Rav Moshe Feinstein talking, there is nothing wrong with taking out a life insurance policy. It is like all other business deals, which are permitted. In fact, it would be forbidden for a person to say, Hashem will provide even without my effort. Who says you're worthy of Hashem providing without your effort? This is what Hashem has ordained. Through work, Hashem will provide His blessing. And if an insurance policy is part of that business plan, then you take it out. A person has to realize that all his efforts are only possible through the blessing of Hashem, who gives us the strength we need. To buy insurance is also through the wisdom granted by Hashem. I mentioned this earlier, that it would come. A person has to see that they made a good decision. It's not me that made the good decision. It's me by the blessing of God.
You're saying Hashem helps you make decisions?
Yes. Welcome him aboard. Additionally, a person is trusting Hashem that when the premium needs to be paid each year, that he will be able to do so. Rav Moshe is just, you know, he's almost, the way I read it, he's like being a drop sarcastic with the question. You know, like, you'll excuse me, like, you think that now that you have an insurance policy, you don't have to have faith in God? Rav Moshe didn't see that as any limitation on the faith you still have to have in Hashem. How are you going to pay the premiums each year? You're hot stuff. Now I'm under control. You're not under control. You're still not under control. You're still going to be a person of bitachon, and I think that this is one of the greatest gifts that Judaism has to offer. The concept that Hashem cares, Hashem is with you, and you're going through a difficult time, to be able to turn to Him and be able to feel that Hashem will see you through the problem.